It was 22 years ago that Lynn and I got the word we were coming to Lexington, South Carolina, to pastor Mount Horeb United Methodist Church. We were very excited about the opportunity of sharing the love of Christ in a growing community. Excited that our children would attend one of the best school districts in the state. And then there was this little thing called Lake Murray. And I love to fish. What a place. I'm sure many of you were moved here for some of the very same reasons that Lynn and I were excited about coming to Lexington. As I began to prepare those first sermons, I really wanted to relate to the lake people of Mount Horeb. So I wrote sermons of Jesus preaching at the lake, Jesus taking his disciples fishing, Jesus walking on the water, Jesus calming the storm. And one of those sermons grabbed me and began to change me. It began to change this church. It was a sermon about a multitude of people. They had gathered together to hear Jesus preach. And they grew hungry. And they needed something to eat. And the disciples came to Jesus and said, "We need to send these people out to the surrounding towns and villages so they can find something to eat." And Jesus said these very strong words to the disciples. He said, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "With what?" And he said, "Bring me what you have." And they found a little boy who had been fishing. He had 2 fish and 5 loaves. Jesus took those 2 fish and 5 loaves and prayed over them and fed over 5,000 people. And how that sermon began to change me and began to change this church is God laid on our heart that we needed to start feeding the people of Lexington. People that were hungry spiritually. People that were thirsting for something different in their life. And we launched into this ministry. One of my favorite fishing stories in the Bible takes place in Luke chapter 5. Once when he was standing on the shore of Lake Gennesaret, or Lake Galilee, the crowd was pushing in on him, Jesus, to better hear the word of God. He noticed 2 boats tied up. The fishermen had just left them and were out scrubbing their nets. He climbed into the boats, that was Simon's boat, and asked him to push out a little from the shore. Sitting there using the boat for a pulpit, he taught the crowd. And when he finished teaching, he said to Simon, "Push out into deep water and let your nets out for a catch." Simon Peter was a professional fisherman. He had fished all night and caught nothing. Here was this carpenter, this itinerant preacher telling him how to fish. I don't know if you've ever fished with a professional fisherman or not, but they don't take too kindly to getting instructions from people who don't know nothing about fishing. I remember the first time I fished in a bass tournament on Lake Murray. My good friend Reggie Floyd invited me to go fishing with him. And we blasted off about 6:45 in the morning. We pulled into a cove and Reggie told me, "I know where 3 fish are on Lake Murray. And the first one is right here by this tree. I'm going to catch it." And I said, "Sure." And then just in a few minutes, he had landed that fish and I put him in the net. And we had 1 fish. He said, "Now we're going to run across the lake. And there's a boat ramp there. And there are 2 fish on the boat ramp. We're going to catch them." I said, "Yeah, right." We blast across the lake, pull into this cove. He says, "Now you throw this, I'll throw this." We threw on the boat ramp, and sure enough, 2 fish. And I said, "This is easy." And then Reggie said this to me. He says, "That's all I got. It's the only 3 fish I know on Lake Murray. We got to go find some fish now." And I knew that the best thing for me to do was be quiet, because I had no idea where any fish were on Lake Murray. One thing I learned from Reggie was that 100% of the fish hang out in 10% of the lake. It's a big old lake, and they're in about 10% of that lake. See, my life was a little bit changed that morning when I learned how to fish on Lake Murray. Jesus is about to change Peter's life. Peter had to lay aside his frustrations of a bad night of fishing. Now, Peter's not fishing for fun. This is not some tournament. He's out there trying to earn a living. This is his livelihood. And maybe you're here this morning, you're frustrated with life. Things aren't working out so well for you, and you're tired. I believe that God has a word for you today about life, and that Jesus Christ wants to change your life just like he changed Peter's life. Now, what did Peter do? I believe that Peter responded with a whole lot of doubt. And maybe you today have a lot of doubt that God can really change your life. But Peter also had a little bit of faith, and he trusted this man named Jesus. This morning, I want to invite you to trust this man called Jesus. And maybe you just have a little bit of faith. I'm telling you, that's all you need for Jesus to change your life. Put down the nets in the deep water. Now, I remember the first time I ever used a net in salt water. Didn't have much salt water in Kentucky. Never had been in salt water fishing. And Lynn and I had moved to Conway. I was pastoring a small church there. And it was the first week I was in town, and I was out visiting some of the people in the church. I was at Glenn and Marcia Cribb's house about 9:30 in the evening, and the phone rang. Glenn picked it up and said, "Well, the new preacher's here. Well, I don't know if I can go or not. I'll ask him." So he put his hand over the phone and said, "Hey, you want to go pull the net for some mullet?" And I said, "Well, what time are we going tomorrow?" He said, no, we're going tonight. At 11 o'clock tonight, we're going to go pull the net for mullet." And I didn't know what to say. But being the new pastor in town, I knew I needed to go pull the net. So he said, "Go home and get you some old tennis shoes and some old clothes on. And 11 o'clock, we're going to go pull the net for mullet." So we head to Merle's Inlet. We get there, and they put me out in this creek with a pole and a net on it. And I got to hold it against this tide that's falling out. And I got little things swimming around my legs, and I'm trying to not step on a jellyfish. And this is really uncomfortable. And I wasn't doing a very good job. And so eventually they sent a replacement for me. And they said, "You need to come back in here." So I stumbled back in. Never forget this. There were three guys there, all smoking cigarettes. They said, "Now, your new job is to hold our cigarettes while we pull the net." So I stood there for an hour swapping out cigarettes with the guys. My life changed a little bit that night. In order for Jesus to change our lives, there are some things we need to learn from this story. The first is this. Jesus calls us to become "if you say so" people. If you say so, people. I don't know what Jesus is calling you to do, but if you respond to Jesus with these words, "because you say so, I will." Don't do it because Jeff said it. Do it because God's word calls you to change your life. And God's word calls you to go and make a difference in the world. Now, his instructions may not make sense all the time, but if you will launch out and trust him, he will use you in a mighty way. If you will say to God this morning, "because you say so," God will use you to do something much bigger, much greater than yourself. Now, if you decide not to trust him today, I believe you're going to miss out on a great opportunity to help change the world. Had Peter refused to launch into the deep, he would have never experienced a massive miracle. Peter got to be a part of the biggest catch of his life, when those nets started filling and those nets started breaking, he realized that he was in the presence of deity, that Jesus was not just a teacher, not just a healer, but he was the Lord of the sea. He was the Lord of the fish. He was the Lord of the entire world. And through this massive miracle, Jesus prepared Peter for a massive mission, a mission to go fish for men and women. Now, I believe that many of us never experience perhaps a massive miracle in our lives because we don't trust Jesus enough to say, if you say so. If you say so, I'll step out. If you say so, I'll go. And then you will miss out on a massive mission. I am so thankful Jesus began to change me and the people of Mount Horeb 22 years ago. I am so thankful that we said yes to Jesus. And for 22 years, this church has been saying, Jesus, because you say so, we will. What you're sitting in here today is because the people of Mount Horeb said, because you say so, Jesus, we will. We will launch out into the deep. We will trust you. We've experienced many massive miracles. This facility here is amazing, is it not? This incredible campus, all because God has provided when we said, if you say so. Friday night, Lynn and I were up here around dark and sitting out in the chairs over there on the patio area, and we're just kind of astonished of all that God has done. Thinking back over the last 22 years, what God has done in this place. And to God be all the glory. Amen? Amen? To God be all the glory. Because you say so, we launched into the uncharted waters of youth and children's ministry, small group ministry, Sunday school ministry, missions, outreach, and yes, contemporary worship. I remember the first time we had drums in the church. I was a little nervous. And some of you were too. If you say so. If you say so, we would have not been involved in this massive mission to reach this community for Jesus. A mission that now reaches into Africa, into Asia, into India, into Central America, the Dominican Republic, Haiti, Samoa. A massive mission that partners nationally and locally with 17 mission partners. And I believe an even greater mission yet to be revealed. Because you say so. Now, the second thing we got to learn this morning, if we're going to launch into the deep, is that Jesus uses the ordinary to do the extraordinary. You may think, you know, what can I do? Well, Peter was an ordinary fisherman. And it was a dream of every young Jewish boy to become a rabbi, to become a teacher. But Peter didn't make the cut. But Jesus, the Son of God, had much bigger plans for Peter. And maybe you're here today and you think, you know, I just haven't made the cut. I really missed the boat. Jesus has great plans for you. He wants you to realize that if you just say so and trust him, he can use the ordinary things in your life to do extraordinary things. I love how Jesus used the ordinary in Peter's life to do the extraordinary. When Peter invited Jesus into his boat, his life began to change. Jesus used Peter's personal universe. He used his boat as a pulpit. He used his lake. He used his nets. The question this morning is, have you invited Jesus into your boat, into your life, into your career? Will you invite him into your business to use what you have as his platform? Jesus, this is your platform. Everything I got is yours. Use this to do something extraordinary. We would all be amazed what Jesus could do with the ordinary, everyday sphere of our influence if we'll trust him. I love listening to Tom Fitz and Kevin Connolly share how in the midst of leading this project and overseeing this massive building project, a time-consuming project, that in the midst of all of that, their businesses began to grow and multiply because they invited Jesus into their lives and into their mission, and God blessed that and blessed them. See, God can take the ordinary serving here at the church and make it something extraordinary. I love this quote from Dallas Willard. He said this, "Learning from Jesus how to live my life as he would live my life if he were I." What a great goal that would be if all of us would put that into practice. Learning from Jesus how to live my life as he would live my life if he were I. That's truly what discipleship is all about. And what I've learned in my years in ministry is that changed people then go and change the world. Changed people will change the world. You are changing the world through this ministry. It's incredible. It's amazing what God is doing. In order to change the world, Jesus calls us to leave the shallows and go deep. You know, Jesus took Peter past the shallows and into the deep. And if God is calling you this morning, I believe that God is calling you this morning, don't be afraid to set sail. And one thing I've learned in ministry is this, if you don't step out, you won't find out. If you don't step out and trust God, you'll never find out what God can do. God is wanting you to step out and trust him today. Now, it's not always easy, but the reward is amazing. The blessings are incredible. And I want to thank all those the Lord has used to encourage me through the years to step out and set sail, to leave the shallows behind and see what God could do. And there are plenty of times that I wanted to stay shallow. I wanted to stay right there. But many of you came alongside me and says, you know, God can do this. God has this. Let's launch. Let's go deep. I've learned a single act of obedience can change the course of history when we trust God. When we follow Jesus, a single act of obedience can change the course of a life. And there's no question that a single step of obedience can change a church. Can change a church. Now, when Jesus called Peter to this mission, it was based on John 3:16. Jesus' mission was clear. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have eternal life. The theme of this whole Above and Beyond campaign was based on Luke 15. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? Our motivation to change the world must be the same motivation Jesus had, and that is to love people. Love people that we don't want them to perish. We want them to experience abundant life. We want them to find eternal life. But I want to give you a challenge this morning as a church. Because as our church grows larger, we must grow deeper. We'll be only able to experience these miracles and mission if we grow deeper. Now, we currently have between 600 and 700 people growing deeper in their faith through a small group, through a Sunday school class, through a Bible study. But I believe that God wants us to have at least 80% of our average attendance growing deeper in discipleship through a Sunday school class, through a small group, etc. Now, what does that mean? With this new facility and additional parking, I believe our attendance on Sunday will soon grow to be over 2,000 people coming on the weekend, which means we need to have at least 1,500 of you involved in going deeper, growing in your faith, getting out of the shallows and go deep. No matter how effective these sermons you hear on Sunday are, you will never grow deep if you stay shallow. You need to get into a Bible study, into a small group, into a Sunday school class, and grow your faith. This Wednesday at 6:30, we launch a new opportunity for you to be in a group, Bible study with Nick. So if you haven't yet signed up for that, want to get involved, and meet this challenge, then do that. Why? Changed people change the world. Changed people will change the world. Now, I love how Jesus uses his power. We need to learn this morning. He uses his power to unlock our potential. His power. Now, I don't know exactly how Jesus did a miracle of all those fish being caught, but I believe it was based on his power. You know, children are pretty perceptive. And when I was showing this video you saw of Luke chapter 5, my granddaughter, Harper Grace, was blown away that Jesus could do something like that. It captivated her. And I've noticed since she watched that little video, her little prayer life has changed. And she's asking Jesus to do some pretty amazing things because she believes he has the power to unlock potential. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that Jesus Christ has the power to unlock our potential? You know, this record catch in Luke 5 reminds us of God's ability to do exceedingly above and beyond all that we ask or think. Peter's never seen such a catch, a catch so great that nets begin to break and boats begin to sink. Catching fish is a good thing. I love catching fish. But catching fish is not the best thing. Nothing wrong with fishing. But Peter left behind a record catch. He left behind nets and a boat to follow Jesus in a new mission. It says in Luke 5, they pulled their boats up on the beach, left them nets and all, and followed him. Now I'm guessing that Peter might have went fishing a time or two after that. But his life was changed. You know, you see God's power unlock Peter's potential when he preaches his first sermon in the book of Acts. Over 5,000 men and women were caught in the gospel net, and their lives were changed forever. And those lives began to change the world. And you and I are here today because Peter was changed. And Peter preached sermons that changed people, that changed the world. And what is the purpose of preaching here this morning is so that you will be changed by trusting in Jesus Christ. And when you are changed, you will go and change the world. Let me ask you this morning, have you ever taken Jesus at his word? Have you ever said, Jesus, if you say so, I will? Have you ever trusted Jesus to break your nets? Or have you played the nets safe, afraid they might break? Now, not everyone is called to be a preacher, a missionary, but I believe all of us have a mission. All of us have a purpose, and we're called to make a difference in this world. We're called to go and be Jesus Christ to people who need to be loved. Whether it's here in Lexington, or somewhere in Columbia, or somewhere on the other side of the ocean. Now, I want to be clear this morning that growing our church is a good thing, but it's not the best thing. Growing this church is a good thing, but it's not the best thing. What is the best thing? It's for every one of you to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus. Grow deeper and allow him to unlock your potential, and then you go and change the world. And you can't do that in this room. You can't do that in your Sunday school class. You can't do that in your small group. But if you will leave this place and go and share Christ with people, you can change the world. To become like Jesus in how we interact with people. To lift up the name of Jesus in witness. You know, a true definition of a disciple should be making another disciple for Jesus. Have you ever made a disciple for Jesus? Have you shared his love with someone else? You know, and in the end, it doesn't matter where all the people are going to go that God uses you to reach. Now, it's great if they come here, but as long as they find a church that loves Jesus and wants to follow Jesus, they too will go and change the world. Now, fishing for men and women in this passage really means to catch alive. It means that God is calling us to catch men and women for life. What kind of life? An abundant life. A life full of joy, a life full of peace, a life full of purpose, a life full of excitement. Are you bored with life? Will you follow Jesus into the deep? And why do we do this? Why do we do all of this? For the same reason Jesus went fishing for you. He loves you. He loves you so much that he didn't want you to perish. He didn't want you to miss your God-given purpose. And so we're called to go and love people so they can find a relationship with God, experience the love of God. I never forget what Dr. Eddie Fox said to me years ago when we were getting ready to buy the property back here that part of this now sits on. And someone had asked, well, how big should Mount Horeb be? What's too big? Eddie Fox said it this way, as long as there's one unchurched person within driving distance of this church, your church is not too big. For God so loved the world, not just Lexington, but the world. And we're part of that massive mission to reach the world. Where do we fish? For men and women and children and families, ask the master to guide you. He's pretty good at that. He told Peter where to fish. You got to hang out where people who don't know Jesus hang out. You got to hang out where Jesus would hang out. It could be at your office. It could be the neighbor next door. It could be in a restaurant. It could be in the streets of Columbia. But we've got to go hang out with people who don't know Jesus. We all love to hang out with people who know Jesus. But he calls us to go into the world and reach people with his love. How do we fish? I've learned the best way to catch fish is to go with people who know how to fish. I find when I go with people who know how to fish, I always catch fish. Learn from each other. Let's learn from each other how to catch fish, how to catch people for Jesus. Learn from your small groups. Learn from your Sunday school classes. Talk about it. Not how do we just take care of ourselves, but how do we go and reach people for Jesus? We simply have conversations with people. You talk to them. You tell them how Jesus Christ changed your life. And it sounds simple, but all you do is build a bridge from your heart to their heart that Jesus can walk across that bridge. It's that simple. You build a bridge from your heart to their heart so Jesus can walk across the bridge. Now, to follow Jesus, to change the world, you've got to invite him to change you. Today, I believe there are people here that Jesus Christ wants to change. I don't know about you, but I'm still a work in progress. Every day God changes me, I hope for the better. If I obey him, it's always for the better. He wants to change all of us so that we can go and change the world. I had this idea the other day, I got it from someone, we were talking about how to remember that we are called to go fish for people, for life. And I came across this little bracelet of barrel swivels. And so I went to Walmart and got me a packet of barrel swivels and made a bracelet. And I've been wearing it to remind myself that this is my purpose, to go and fish for people. Not just hang out with people that I always hang out with, but go hang out with some people who need to be caught for Jesus. And so what we did was we ordered, and someone graciously provided these. We now have 2,500 packs of barrel swivels. And I'm never going to use all these to go fishing, so I need you to take one. And I want you to make your little bracelet and wear it as a reminder that you're called to go and change the world. Now, I got to tell you up front, this is not gold or silver. It costs about a dollar. But what a reminder of our mission to go and fish for Jesus to change the world. Gracious God, I thank you that you've called us here today to be your people. You've called us to leave the shallows and to go deep. I thank you that you're changing lives. You want to use the ordinary in our lives to do extraordinary things. This little bracelet here, an ordinary barrel swivel, can remind us that you can do extraordinary things. So Father God, I pray right now that you would change that life who came here not really wanting to be changed, really comfortable where they are. But Lord God, you're not done with them yet, no matter how young they are or how old they are. Lord God, use us, change us, so we can change the world. As we invite Jesus into our hearts right now, take away our sins, take away our failures, and give us your peace. But give us this purpose to go and change the world for you, for your glory. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.